This is Film Survival, the podcast. I'm Eva Zimson. What is this podcast about? It's about how to survive and thrive in a creative career. It's about what it takes to actually make it in this industry. It's the war stories. It's filmmakers talking about their careers and how they got where they are. It's about pounding the pavement and learning to love that process.
In this episode, you'll learn the ins and outs of navigating two of the biggest film festivals, Cannes and Berlin. You'll see how a hotel bathroom can double as your change room and how yogurt can help fuel you throughout your festival run. You know, if you want to know what's the difference between Cannes and Berlin, Cannes is kind of like Toronto International as well. It's like the largest festival in the world. And it is known for its ultra art house, but it's also the launch pad for many Hollywood films. So as an independent filmmaker, you will probably get lost in Cannes in the mix of things. And unless you have a film premiering there, it's difficult to sort of shine there. If you just go to the American Pavilion tent, you feel sort of overwhelmed with how many people are there. Whereas in Berlin, it's still a large festival, but Berlin is very much about commercial art house. And I would say it's about launching careers of filmmakers. So they often bring back a filmmaker with each of their films, and they'll sort of follow them and showcase them. They also have initiatives like the Talent Campus, which is this phenomenal initiative where it's really about getting emerging people connected with the veterans and doing it through this lovely, authentic dialogue, these sessions where there is actually face-to-face time. Then there's, nice sort of intimate speaking sessions. So I find Berlin more accessible for emerging filmmakers. Another difference between Cannes and Berlin is that Berlin is more doable on a budget, because Berlin, you can stay in hostels and it's such a huge city. So if you don't mind commuting for a bit on the subway, you can pretty much do Berlin on very little money. And Cannes, you're looking at a minimum budget. You know, I did it very cheaply because I was sort of housed with other people for free, and I was taking an hour-long train in, which does end at midnight, as I mentioned. So I would say, if you're going to go to one of those, go to Berlin. Prepare to get the flu after, because it's so cold, and so it's not a great time to be in the city, but you're in movie theaters and the film market most of the time. I also find the film market in Berlin a little bit more, again, accessible, although they do limit your access. In Cannes, there's a film market as well. I mean, one of the differences in Cannes is they have this thing called the Short Film Corner, where you can actually register for the Short Film Corner with, I don't know, 300 euros and bring any short film, and you get a badge. And so with that badge, you can access the market and a lot of other venues that let you in with the market badge. And that's kind of cool. You basically have a film in the market. You can say that, and that's your way in. They also have this thing called the Producers Network, which there's a fee for that. I think it might be a bit more than that. And you get a badge for that, and you go to all these breakfast networking events. And again, you have an access badge to the market, which lets you into all of the pavilion area for all of the countries and stuff. So you don't actually have to go to the film festival to attend Cannes. Some people just attend the market. I actually did Cannes on what I think was around 300 euros. And you might be asking yourself, how in the world is that possible? I mean, granted, I was living in London, England, so the ticket itself was cheap. It was on EasyJet to Nice, and then I drove in. The key is that you go with other people who are maybe renting a full house, and that's what I did. I lucked out. I don't even think they charged me very much. And basically, it was a house in Antibes, which is an hour train ride away from Cannes. To stay in Cannes proper, you're looking at thousands of dollars. It's unattainable for many filmmakers. Even some big companies, they will have rented a house outside and just shuttle people in. So residence is key. You got to plan that. Number two, the cool thing about Cannes is that a lot of people can go who didn't think they could. They actually have passes for film students. They have a pass for cinephiles. So just if you love cinema, I don't even know how they verify that. But the other key thing is that you don't pay for a badge in Cannes. And the way it works is they check if you have an IMDb account, and you have to be, I think you have to have references if you're new to the festival from people who have experience or a lot of credits on IMDb. But once you're verified, once you're in their system, you pretty much can go to Cannes every year. And if you're a distributor or somebody doing business there, you do pay for your badge, but some of those badges are free. And Cannes has some really unique opportunities to go in a roundabout way. So let's say you don't have credits on IMDb, Internet Movie Database. Then you could, for example, take a short film to the short film corner, which entitles you to a pass to the market area. I'm not sure. Sometimes you can get into screenings with that. The key is that you just get a badge and get in there. You do not go to Cannes without a badge because you can't get in anywhere. They check everywhere at every gate. However, so if you go to the short film corner, you could get access to the market. You're going to be allowed to go to a lot of networking events. And let's say you don't have a short film, but you still want to go through the short film corner. Well, you could actually say to someone in Toronto or whatever your home base, do you want me to bring your short film to Cannes? And the short film corner, I think, is something like 190 euros to put the film in. It's a guaranteed in, so it's not like an application or something. I mean, I'm sure it has to be abiding by a few standards, but you basically get a pass if you have a film there. And that's a great way of going, because it's nice to say, I'm here for, you know, promoting my film at the short film corner and doing, you know, promoting or pitching some of my other films that I have in development. Another initiative they have is, I think, the Producers Network, where they do producers networking breakfasts. And that is, there's a cost for that badge as well. But again, it gets you into that main market area. Cannes is a beautiful festival. It's along the water, so all the different countries have a tent set up along the water, the Croisée, and people are lounging by the water and doing deals. One of the most exciting tents that I found was the American tent, because they have a lot of panelists there. You can go and listen to someone like Christine Vachon of Killer Films talk about producing, which is great. I know that they actually have interns working in those tents too, so there's ways of getting in there as well. It's kind of interesting that Canada actually has its own tent, and then you go down a few, and then you find Quebec, which has its own isolated tent at the end, which looks like Club Med. It's the most beautiful tent, very, you know, white chiffon curtains blowing and stuff like that. And it does give you a sense that Quebec has such and its own identity, especially when dealing with France, because that is their main target audience outside of Quebec, is, you know, French speaking. A few other things that you should know how to do Cannes on a budget. So you cannot eat in restaurants for the most part. So what do you eat? Well, every morning I would go to the grocery store and get about a liter of drinkable yogurt, which they have aisles dedicated to yogurt in France. So that's a beautiful thing. Hopefully you're not lactose intolerant, but something like that. You got to get a fix in the morning. Then for lunch, you get a baguette for 3 euros with tomato and cheese or something, which you can buy at the festival and eat fairly quickly. The other thing is too, you know, a lot of people do lunch and they do deals, but if it's your first time, you're not doing deals over lunch. So the most important thing is that you keep energized and you keep going to more events, talks, go see some films, try to get tickets to red carpet screenings, because people will give those away when they don't have time. You should always have a change of clothes with you. You start to feel like a mule, because you're carrying so many brochures. By the end of the day, you just want to throw them in the water. But basically, you should have an extra pair of shoes and outfit for the evening, more gala events. Because if, let's say, you get a ticket last minute to the red carpet, you're actually expected to be dressed up. Men have to wear tuxes and women have to wear usually like a dress or something very fancy. So also, if you're going to a party and you've been schwitzing around in your day outfit, which is probably supposed to be a bit business casual, then you want to have an evening attire. There have been many times when I found myself in the Hyatt bathroom stall changing like Superman, you know, from my day outfit into my night gala gown, which really felt not glamorous, let me just say. And it is so funny to hear that so many people do that, because a lot of people are far away from their hotels, so you have to do that. So it's this whole powder room for everybody who isn't actually staying at the Hyatt. Now, by dinner time, you have probably only eaten a baguette and yogurt and maybe a few granola bars or something. So now you're starving. The other way to get food at a festival is actually to go to the parties, because they have a lot of good food. So you'll live off oysters and champagne. Just make sure you don't drink a lot of alcohol, actually, at a film festival. This is a big thing for anybody new. Luckily, when I was doing those rounds, I wasn't drinking at all, and I had a major advantage in two ways. For networking purposes, you are on your game. You're at 100% when you can be talking to some exec who might be, you know, his wall is down and he's actually accessible, and you can kind of talk where you couldn't during the day. As well, you have to keep going. This festival is, time is money, you know what I mean? You can't be hungover the next day. I know so many people who wasted a lot of time in Cannes, who should have been up at 8 a.m. catching the train, getting back in there, going, doing more things. So it's very important to, at the very least, save your body from alcohol. I can't stress it enough. Drink a lot of water. Berlin is a festival that is fairly cheap for filmmakers. So if you are a filmmaker, it's around 100 euros or so. And if you are a student, it's only 50 euros, which is amazing for an all-access pass. The way Berlin works is you go and get in line at something like 8 a.m. and you get all your tickets for the next day, which is a brutal task if you're coming from far away and you have to wait in line in the cold and get your tickets, but that's what you got to do. So my ritual on this first experience was to get in line, and then I would, with my badge, actually get into the extra seating area of the Filmpalast, which is the main big theater where they would have the morning press screening at 9 a.m. So I would already, just right off the bat, get a really popular film in, because they screen like the big films that are premiering that night in the morning, for the most part. I highly recommend you go to Berlin if you are a filmmaker. Berlin is for filmmakers. They show very art house films, that are also commercial. They embrace filmmakers. It's very welcoming. They do a lot of panel talks, and they also have an initiative called the Talent Campus. The Talent Campus you can apply for in the fall, and that is a beautiful thing. When you get in, you are mentored, and you get to meet people like Walter Murch. Anthony Minghella was there 1 year. It's a beautiful initiative. However, it's very competitive, so a lot of people will apply as a director and they don't get in. I have friends who are directors, but they actually applied as composer because they also do that, and they ended up getting in. So let's say you don't get in. You should just go to Berlin. So you buy your ticket early, make sure, you know, you go through the application process. They're very strict about their deadlines. So you have to apply by mid-December to the festival, for the festival that happens in February. I went to Berlin not knowing anything. So I was bringing a black and white sheet of paper, you know, printed, no visuals, no graphics, no picture, as my one sheet, which I know now is not something you do. It looked like a little report. It looked very amateur. And I remember getting into the market the first time, and the market is the most overwhelming place as a filmmaker. You just see movie posters from all around the world. There's a lot of sales agents and distributors, and the sales agents have these huge posters showing off all of the films they're selling, and you go there and they're mainly looking to talk to buyers. So the way that works is, if you're a Canadian distributor and you distribute to the Canadian public, you're going to Berlin as a buyer looking to buy from those sales agents. As a filmmaker, it's a great learning experience because you see how people sell films, what is selling, what your competition is. You can even get ideas for marketing materials. Something to know that a lot of the big distributors act or sales agents have off-site offices. So Wild Bunch always has a different office. Some of the bigger Hollywood ones are situated in the hotels because they don't want the walk-up traffic, actually. Berlin was a great festival learning experience for me because by the time the fifth day rolled around, I was so primed in my pitch because the first pitch, I don't even know who I did that to, but must have been a bad pitch. By the mid of the festival, I knew exactly how to pitch a Canadian producer versus a German producer versus a British producer. Something else that I realized is if you are going to a film festival and you go to your own stand, so let's say in my case that was Canada, number one, people are actually quite welcoming because it's sort of like the Canadians stick together, the Brits stay together. In fact, the Brits and the Canadians often have commonwealth happy hours and stuff like that. But people suddenly think that you're someone. Like, you're not at this festival just to, you know, joke around. Obviously, you bought a badge. You must be someone if you're showing your face here. So that's a very important point, that by showing up, you become someone. The key is also, you know, be yourself. You can say, I'm here as my first festival experience. I'm, you know, researching in the market, or I'm here to see films. It's very important to see films, by the way. A lot of people will go to these festivals and not even catch a film because they're in the market all day. You don't want to do that, especially if it's your first time. You want to watch movies so you have things to talk about and reference. Sometimes you can be a good film recommender to someone who hasn't seen any, and that's an attractive thing in anyone if you're skilled in talking about what is good, what you like. One thing that happened to me was right before the festival, they have a European Film Summit where the moguls of film they meet and talk about, you know, some of the bigger decisions, etc. I got into this event, which is normally £800, by volunteering to film it. And the opening speaker was Anthony Minghella, who was a hero of mine. And then the next panel after Anthony was the biggest producers in Europe. And of course, Peter Albeck Jensen of Zentropa was sitting on this panel. And he suddenly looks down and he says, "You." And they all turn to me and they say sort of, "How do you know the camera girl?" And he said, "You know, come and see me at the lunch break." So I was very happy, and I went up to him at the lunch break, and he takes me to the coat room, and he hauls out his jacket, and in the sleeve was the scarf that I had sent him as a thank you gift for allowing me to film with Lars previously. And this was so cool, and I couldn't believe he had the scarf with his name embroidered and the maple leaf. He really obviously liked it. He told me, you know, I'm too busy to talk to you right now or the next 5 days because that's when I'm going to be making all of our millions for the company. But come to me at the end and, you know, tell me about what you're working on." And luckily, that's how it panned out because I was now primed. My pitch was really solid and I ended up pitching him, and he put a producer on the phone for me, and they decided to come on board and help produce my feature film, which didn't get made because we couldn't get partners in Canada. But nonetheless, that was a huge success story that actually led to me going to Cannes as well and meeting up with their German producer and other partners. I think the most important thing that I learned coming out of Berlin was that a festival experience is completely useless if you do not do follow-ups. So often people will come home with a stack of business cards, literally a mini little tower of business cards. And first of all, now you have to go through them. Hopefully you've written on them after each networking, you know, interaction, who that person was, why you should follow up, what you talked about. That's going to make this process much easier. But you need to do this. It's almost dangerous to sort of let someone else do this for you, like an assistant or something, because these need to be genuine follow-ups. Often you're actually following up while you're at the festival because you might need an extra meeting while you're both in that city. But at the very least, follow up. Try to offer something in that email. Like, let's say you talked about something, send them a link to something. At this stage in your career, you have very little to offer except for the showing that initiative, showing that you're willing to research something for someone else, make someone else's life easier. They will always remember you for that. They will probably respond. And then the next year when you see them at the festival, you'll have like this instant sort of, hey, how's it going? And people do that. They come up to you. They recognize you. They kind of have seen you before. And that's a great feeling. I know I used to show up at the Danish area all the time. I don't know if they got sick of me, but definitely they knew who I was and the whole Lars thing. Ideally, you want to have projects going there too, but I say there's nothing wrong with going just as an experience, understanding our place in the grand world of film. It's so important that we don't stay in this isolated bubble, because Canada's film industry is actually very small if you compare it to all of the industries in the world. I mean, there's a vast array of film out there, and any good film producer should be aware of it. Thank you for listening. On the next episode of Film Survival, my interview with supermensch Shep Gordon. You can find more information on episodes, workshops, and private consulting at filmsurvival.com.